Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Did you hear that last sound bite that Matt played? Did you hear the mumbo jumbo in there?
I honestly wasn't paying.
I have no idea what the guy's talking about, but he's using it. Oh, Marcus Stroud, blah, 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 blah. You know what he said? Nothing. I always love people like to use big phrases and big words to say nothing. Just have the ability to speak to people so they know what you're talking about.
Steve's tip of the day, huh?
Man, I fail every day at it, but that's okay. They still employ me anyway. All right. All right, Dave Edit, the play-by-play voice of Northwestern football, the preview of the Big Ten football championship game in just a few moments. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. The Blazers getting it done behind Damian Lillard.
Now to Lillard. Lillard front court. Magic backing up. 38 seconds for the period. Lillard around a Leonard pick. Here comes another three on the way. Ooh, round. Oh! A new career high. 10 three-point field goals for Lillard. 95-84 Blazers. What a turnaround here in the quarter.
Brian Wheeler with the call on the Blazers radio network as they beat Orlando last night. I only did one game, Chad, where a guy hit 10 three-pointers.
And that's
that
quite
was
a feat.
John Diebler of Ohio State did it in the Jordan Center. And it's on its way. Hey, it's good. Yeah. Okay. I mean, in fact, they'd be passing it to him. I was calling it good. All right, let's get to the Big Ten football championship game. This guy I consider to be a good friend. I think he's one of the best in the business, and he gets a chance to call his first ever Big Ten football championship game. Dave Ennett, the play-by-play voice of Northwestern football. Hello, Dave. It's great to have you with us today.
Thanks, Steve. I know you've had the chance, and it's really something that I wondered if it was going to happen, and very fired up for Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. And now let's talk about the road to get there. It's an unusual road because they went 0-3 in the non-con all at home. Don't have to tell you about that. But then what fell into place, and how much did the healing of the knee of Clayton Thorson help it fall into place?
Well, I think that had an awful lot to do with it, Steve. I mean, I think it was pretty clear that even though they were able to eke out that win at Purdue to start the season, I don't think Clayton was, and I don't know if it was so much health as it was just kind of coming back from a traumatic injury and all the rehab that went into it. And I think, you know, just he was somewhat limited early in the year. There's no question about that. And part of what's made him so good over his career at Northwestern has been his ability to be a dual threat guy. As great as his passing numbers have been over the course of his career and all his accomplishments, the game when he first burst onto the scene, it was a 42-43 yard touchdown run that helped beat Stanford in the opener his freshman season. So, you know, I think you look at it that way. I think the offensive line had some injuries early, and they were kind of unstable early in the season. And then, of course, there was the loss of Jeremy Larkin, their starting running back, the heir apparent to Justin Jackson. And, of course, just a few games into the season, he was forced to retire because of an injury, a medical condition known as cervical stenosis, that required him to give up football. So here they are without their starting running back, a quarterback still working his way back, an offensive line that wasn't quite where it needed to be. I think all those things kind of factored into it. But as they went along, they stabilized things. Clayton got better, and he sort of carried them for a few games through when they still hadn't really figured out what they were going to do as far as the running back position without Jeremy Larkin. And then, lo and behold, there's Isaiah Bowser,
yeah,
who comes onto the scene, and he started running against Rutgers, and he hasn't stopped since. So,
yeah.
And no one stopped him. So, you know, I think it was a combination of those things. I think when you look at those non-conference games, Duke was playing well early in the year, and I still think, you know, Duke's not the Duke of old. It's a pretty good football team, even lately. I think the one of those non-conference losses was to Notre Dame, and really, if you look at it, they gave Notre Dame as much of a scare as anyone has this year, except maybe getting down 10-0 against USC. And then the other one was the head-scratcher against Akron. But, you know, they're up 21-3 at halftime of that game, and then Clayton Thorson had two interceptions, returned for touchdowns in the second half, and also lost a fumble that was recovered in the end zone for an Akron touchdown. So 19 points off those three turnovers, that's how Akron won that game.
Two of the easier votes I made along the way on All Big Ten were Blake Gallagher and Patty Fisher. What kind of 1-2 combination are they at linebacker?
Well, it's what you would want from a Pat Fitzgerald coach team, right?
Yep.
The linebacker is the heart of this defense. And, I mean, Patty Fisher, I wouldn't say he got overshadowed this year. I was glad he got first-team All-Big Ten because I was afraid, you know, he didn't put up quite the numbers that he did last year. But he is a guy that, and Pat Fitzgerald has said, he's going to end up being the best middle linebacker ever to play at Northwestern. That's pretty good considering that he followed a guy, Anthony Walker, who's kind of setting the tone for the Colts defense now on Sundays. And also, he's coached by the guy who's the best middle linebacker ever to play at Northwestern. And Gallagher, is a true sophomore this year, played a lot as a freshman because of injuries to Brett Walsh, the guy he was backing up. But he's just been a tackle machine this year. And I think what that's helped Patty Fisher a little bit because he's been able to roam a little more, and he's got great lateral movement, great lateral speed, and he's got such great instincts, Steve. He made a play Saturday. I don't know if you saw it, but Illinois was hanging with them in the fourth quarter. You know, that's a rivalry game. And Illinois is driving late in the game at the 17-yard line of Northwestern, down by 8. And the quarterback for Illinois, A.J. Bush, throws over the middle. Fisher reaches up, tips the ball to himself, makes the interception, and saves the game. And that's the kind of play, I think you would agree, that's the kind of play great players make.
Exactly right. In the clutch, when you need it, that's what makes them a great player. Montre Hartage has missed a couple of games, the last couple of games. Getting him back, especially in this game, what will that mean for them defensively?
Well, I think it's huge. And it's not just him. They had three other guys who've been out in the secondary, Trey Williams, Jared McGee. They're all coming back for this game. And that's big because they were playing really well. You know, the narrative has been, well, you know, Northwestern's pretty tough on the run, but you could throw on them. But if you really look at their numbers year to year, they've been much better as far as their pass defense this year, even though they lost two guys to the NFL and Kyle Cairo and Godwin Igwebuke, their two safeties.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think you look at Hartage, he's had just an outstanding year and got the All Big Ten recognition that he so richly deserved.
Yep.
It was interesting. I think it was the Wisconsin game. Wisconsin kept throwing at him, and he had four pass breakups in that game. He's had a bunch of interceptions in his career. He's just, you know, one of those guys who's gotten better every year and has had a great senior year. And you know, it's been one of those deals where, well, if you're going to throw at him, be forewarned, because he's as good, I think, just in coverage as we've seen this year in the Big Ten.
I felt awful about the Larkin situation, you know, for him personally, and also for Northwestern, the fact is I thought Larkin was going to be a really good back for Northwestern. It took them a little while to finally settle on Bowser. When they did, what did he bring to the table and how Pat wants to play?
Well, I just think that, look, Pat Fitzgerald is somewhat old school in that he wants to play great defense, wants to be able to run the football, especially in the Big Ten, especially when you get into, I mean, we've had for the past month, I mean, our game at Iowa, it was, the temperature was, I think, somewhere in the 20s,
yeah.
And it was one of those gray November yeah. days. You know what it's like.
Yeah.
And they needed a big game from Bowser, and he ran for 165 yards. And then against Minnesota the following week, they fed him the ball, and that was another frigid afternoon. And then this past Saturday, it wasn't a great day to throw the ball in Evanston. And you know, he just gets his first play from scrimmage for Northwestern, he reels off a 55-yard run. Steve, he's a little bit different than Larkin. He's kind of a power guy. He's a guy who gets the tough yardage between the tackles, but he's patient. And you know, when he gets ahead of steam going, kind of reminds me a little bit of one of the best ever to play at Northwestern, Darnell
Autry. I was about to say that.
Yeah. And so, you know, the thing that impressed me watching him, you know, he had his coming out party against Rutgers. And so I don't know if people really fully appreciated what he was doing, except that day they needed him to play that way. And because they were really struggling. They were trailing Rutgers in the fourth quarter there. And that was kind of their season on the line. And Bowser got the ball and just, you know, continued play after play to get the tough yards for him, and scored a couple of touchdowns, scored the go-ahead touchdown for them. But then he did it also against Notre Dame. You know, and that was really impressive in a high-level game like that as a freshman who's only played a handful of games at that point to perform the way he did against Notre Dame. That was on the heels of a great game against Wisconsin, too, I should point out. So, you know, I just think he's been really, really impressive. Another, you know, great running back from Ohio, and Northwestern's had a number of those guys going back to, you know, Mike Adamley and more recently Tyrell Sutton, and, you know, and here is Bowser now getting the job done for him.
It's interesting because Northwestern opened 1-3, and that included the loss to Michigan where you led the game 17-0, and then Michigan rallied to win. After that, you didn't lose a Big Ten game. Won 8 straight Big Ten games, then a loss, and there's the Notre Dame loss that you mentioned. As the season was progressing, what was your feel of watching them get better every week to the point where they got themselves to the finish line in this thing?
You know, honestly, it was more like, well, now they're playing the way we expected them to play.
Yeah.
Because I think if you go back to last year and you look at this team came into the season with an ace,
mm-hmm.
and I would go on shows, Steve, and people would say, well, you know, how's North Bay lose Justin Jackson and you know, this guy's gone, and how they get, and you know, now, you know, how are they going to beat Anson in the West? And I said, well, you know, hold on, guys, just let's look at this for a second. You know, they have the longest winning streak at Power 5 football going into the season, right? And everybody's like, what? And if you look at what they've done over the last 2 years, since losing to Penn State in that game at Evanston a year ago, October, mm-hmm. they have gone 15-1 in Big Ten regular season games.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's to me, that's consistency. And all of those wins have come on the road. I mean, all of the road games they've won, the only loss has been that game to Michigan, which they led 17-0.
Right.
So, you know, it's not always pretty. I like to say they don't always win the box score, but, you know, they find ways to win games. It's just like the Nebraska game this year, you know, where they're down most of that game. They took the lead, they fell behind, and they're down by 10 points with less than 3 minutes to go. They had lost their kicker. They have a backup kicker, comes in. He'd missed a field goal badly earlier, comes in, kicks a field goal. So now you're down by a touchdown, force a 3-and-out by Nebraska, burn your timeouts. They punt, pin you on your own half-yard line with a minute 50 to go, and Clayton Thorson, with no timeouts, takes him 99.5 yards.
Right.
And they score with 12 seconds left to force overtime. Then once they get to overtime, you know, more often than not they win it. I guess what I'm saying is that was the team I think I expected to see.
In fact, I was talking earlier before he came on, before the season began, we're talking about win potential, and I said I thought there were six potential teams. There were six teams in the Big Ten that had the potential to be 10-win teams going in. I said not all of them were going to get there, but they had the potential. I actually had Northwestern as one of my six. I want to ask you about Ohio State. What about the matchup with them? Because obviously Northwestern did not face Ohio State during the regular season.
No, and Ohio State has, as you probably have heard because it's been echoed widely this week, Ohio State has dominated this series as long as I've been around Northwestern football and have one win over Ohio State. That was in 2004 under Randy Walker. Now, they've come close a couple times, including last time they played them in Columbus a couple of years ago where they came very close to winning that game. But look, if Ohio State plays the way they played on Saturday against Michigan, I don't know too many teams are going to beat them. That said, they were highly motivated in
yes.
that game
yeah.
as they normally are. Now, will they be as motivated this week, knowing they not only have to win, but they're also going to need, from what everybody says, style points, and then get some help to get into the playoff? You know, I think it kind of, from that standpoint, Steve, it sort of plays into, I think, one of Northwestern's strengths, which is when everybody's writing them off, as they did this year when they were 1-3 and 0-3 at home, and when they're a double-digit underdog, you know, oftentimes on the road, as they were against Iowa this year,
right.
You know, as they were against Notre Dame at home, and they were down by three with, I think, less than 5 minutes to go. You know, those are the games I think, for whatever reason, Northwestern seems to be able to come through in those sorts of situations. I don't know if they're going to win on Saturday, but my suspicion is that this is going to be a heck of a football game.
I agree. I'm looking forward to it. And again, Dave, I'm thrilled for you, my friend, that you get a chance to do this. It'll be a great experience.
Thanks, Steve. I'm really excited about it. And if you have any suggestions for me, send me an email.
You just beat Dave in it. you'd be shocked how really good that is. So, okay. Dave, thanks. Have a great time with it, and let's see how it turns out.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.
Dave Ennett, the outstanding play-by-play voice of Northwestern football. Next half hour, David Jones with the Patriot News and PennLive.com. Tomorrow, Jeff Byers on the show about Penn State Bucknell wrestling and much more. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Great to have you with us. It'll be a big weekend of college football coming up and basketball. Penn State, of course, well, of course, you have wrestling tomorrow night. Jeff Byers is going to be on the show tomorrow. Probably put Jeff on, just so you know, in the first half hour. One of the reasons will be is that Jeff has to get on the bus to come over here. So that is something I want to... you should be aware of moving forward. So we'll probably put Jeff on the first half hour, in that 3 to 3:30 half hour. Ivan Maisel, ESPN tomorrow. Don Marcus, Baltimore Sun tomorrow. And Picks tomorrow. So we have a lot going on here at the broadcast facility of Champions. Next week, we do have the... company holiday party. Chad, are you going to be able to go?
I'm planning to be there, yes.
Did you hear who else is going?
I have not gotten the guest list.
If I were to tell you the suit was going to be there, would you change your mind about going?
Probably not, because there will be some other people. I'll get to see you. I haven't... seen you since last holiday party. So
that's true. Yeah, and plus Sean will be there, which will be great. Yeah, it's just, I mean, last year it worked out so perfectly. It was a game that night. I mean, it's like I really like and respect Jamie a lot, but like, you know, sometimes like you got to think the problem all the way through. And what's the problem? I mean, the last time it went, you know, the last time it went and he was there, he's up on the table with the lampshade on. I mean, if, I mean, momentarily it's funny.
Maybe he learned that in those acting classes.
Yeah, that worked out really great. Oh, my goodness. So the big games are coming up. Texas-Oklahoma will be the noon game on Saturday. 4 o'clock game is going to be Alabama-Georgia. The 8 o'clock games will be Clemson-Pitt and Ohio State-Northwestern. Now, basketball during the day, I will not get a chance in all likely, unless I see the fourth quarter, maybe. I'm probably not going to be able to see the Ohio State-Northwestern game. I'll have to listen to that in the radio on the way back. Because Penn State's basketball game is at 5. My guess is we're out of there at 7:30. And I'm driving myself down. I'm not going on the team bus is actually leaving at noon tomorrow. I'm leaving. I'm going to drive myself down after 5 tomorrow. My daughter now lives in, Megan now lives in Alexandria, Virginia. She's the one that had been in Guam.
Oh, yeah.
And her husband got transferred from Anderson Air Force Base to Andrews. Now, he hasn't finished the transfer yet, but she's already teaching at Woodbridge, Virginia. So I'm going to go down and see her and take her out to breakfast Saturday morning and then do the game and then come back. So I want to be able to drive myself down. It also means that as soon as the game's over and the post-game's over with, gone. We're just waiting for a couple more players. Gone.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Make it a November to remember. Get a vehicle at Sunbury Motors, which will then make it a December to remember. And a March to remember. And a June to remember. Because you bought now at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. Our thanks to Audrey Snyder from The Athletic. Dave Bennett, the play-by-play voice of Northwestern football and basketball. Tomorrow, Jeff Byers will be on the show to preview Penn State Bucknell Wrestling at Soica. Don Marcus, Baltimore Sun, tomorrow to preview Penn State basketball at Maryland in the Big Ten opener. Ivan Mazel, ESPN, will talk college football with him tomorrow. And our picks segment coming up tomorrow as the King joins us in the final half hour. The King, by the way, is invited to the holiday party, but I can tell you he will be a no-show. It's a 325-mile trip. Actually, it's a 275-mile trip.
Would have been nice to see him.
I know. It would have been great to see him. It would have compensated for somebody who is showing. All right, so. Oh, we love the suit. He'll be there. He'll be funny. And, you know, well, do you mind if I sit here? Yes, I do. No. Can you imagine anybody ever saying that? Do you mind if I sit here? Yes, I do. If somebody ever said that, you're like, what are you doing? All right, let's bring in Dave Jones, Patriot News, PennLive.com, Penn State, Maryland, Saturday, Big Ten football championship coming up on Saturday with other championship games. Quite a weekend, David. Great to have you with us.
Boy, what a day on Saturday. That's going to be a day of sports, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's one of those fun days where you get a lot going between football and basketball, two of our favorite sports right in front of us.
Yeah, and all college, man. I was talking to somebody the other day, yesterday, about the difference between pro and college. And, you know, college athletics can be a skeezy business, and it's a business, but it still will always be more fun to me than. I was talking to a guy actually down in Atlanta about the Peach Bowl. A guy was connected with the Peach Bowl, and he was talking about how much people love college sports in Atlanta for a big city. And when you think about it, he was talking about the alumni bases of all the SEC schools down there and how Atlanta is unique and that it loves college sports more than pro sports. And I never thought about it, but it's true. I mean, Their ratings for college football are always through the roof. They'll watch anything. I remember the first game of the season a few years ago was Virginia Tech and West Virginia.
Right.
And their ratings were like 20. They got like a 25 share for that game.
Which is an absurd number.
They didn't even care.
Yeah, absurd number. I mean, it's great because they love it down there. And I think it's one of the reasons why they eventually put the College Football Hall of Fame down there.
Yep. Yeah. And well, who knows? Penn State might end up down there. We'll see.
And because you talk with them, I'll ask you about that part. If Ohio State were to blow out Northwestern and Oklahoma wins a close game, or loses, obviously, but wins a close game, is that
probably... They got to win. They got to win. That's the whole point.
That's right. They have to win.
They have to win, but they've got to win by just barely, so Ohio State passes them.
Right, passes them out, which then that opens the door for Penn State to the Peach Bowl.
Because Oklahoma occupies that Big 12 automatic
Sugar Bowl
spot in the Sugar Bowl, and that kicks out Texas and opens up a spot. That's what you want.
So that's what... Now, okay, that's what you see. What are they thinking? One thing they don't get, they will not get the Group of Five team because they've had them twice.
No, because they were there last year.
Yeah, they've had them twice.
They've had it twice already, and you know they've had enough. Very frankly, I think I would watch. I don't know that this is done by any means, but it can't be. But would you watch Central Florida and Florida in Phoenix? I'd watch that, man. I mean, that's a game they could make. I mean, if you're gonna make one Florida team fly out there, why not both?
Right, and why not? And I think it would be a watchable game. That's the other part. So it becomes a watchable game. Auburn Central Florida is not really a watchable game. Florida Central Florida actually is because of the proximity.
Yeah, they haven't played in 12 years. They've only played twice ever. Florida's not going to play them by choice. Central Florida fans. Central Florida, I actually walked around down there in Orlando when we were down there for a bowl years ago. That campus is huge.
They have 60,000 students on that campus.
The largest enrollment for a single campus in the country. Bigger than Ohio State, bigger than Minnesota, bigger than everybody now. So their alumni base is mushrooming. And the longer this goes on, who knows? They might end up in the SEC someday, or the ACC. Who knows?
And they have a brand new stadium there, which fans will get a chance to see it again when they play Memphis this weekend. So they have a brand new place. I mean, they poured a lot of money into it.
Yeah, and they've got when you have that many alumni, some of them are going to give, and that's what makes you attractive to a conference. Eventually, they have a chance. I don't know that anybody else does. I mean, I think the door is pretty much shut on everybody else to get into a major conference.
Yeah, I agree with you. The only other one I can think of, even though it hurts them, the fact that they're in the state of Texas and Texas is so dominant, the only other one I can think of is Houston would have a shot.
Yeah, and they had their shot last year, and it still didn't happen.
Still didn't happen for them. What do you think of obviously it took a long time to get to four. What do you think of four? And you know eventually money does talk, and they'll start talking about eight.
Yeah. I saw somebody yesterday. Who was it who said he'd been – oh, wasn't it Joel Klatt? Joel Klatt said that he had been in contact with several of the power brokers of the major conferences, and he believes – they're going to blow it up within 5 years and make it eight, or at least expand it.
The sentiment makes sense. The time frame makes sense because you're going to get a lot of complaints. Look, let me give you a scenario. Right? You and I can have fun with this. Georgia beats Alabama. Clemson wins. Notre Dame's in. Well, now you could have Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame all make the top four. That means out will be the Big 12,
Pac-12,
Big 10.
Yeah.
All right?
Everyone else.
So now you've got three conferences out.
It's a stupid system, Steve. I mean, it was always Jerry Palm, a buddy of mine who knows a lot of people in that world, said it was created to create controversy on purpose. I don't know if that's true. He believes it. He says it was a system created purposely to make dysfunction and chaos because that would breed more interest. But I don't think they counted on a scenario like you just explained happening too often. It's simply from a functional standpoint, it's stupid to have five major conferences and four slots in a playoff. It doesn't make any sense. Not to mention the fact that a group of five team is never going to be in it, and the group of five conferences have a beef, an antitrust beef. If this keeps happening, they could file against the Power Five and force it. You know, it just makes sense that they're going to blow this up before the agreement ends in, what is it, 2025?
I can't remember. Right. Yeah. And there's another factor, too. There's that case in California right now, which the NCAA is not very confident about, that may open the door for money going to, quote, student athletes, players, whatever you wish to call them in this particular day. Well, if that happens, you're going to need money.
Yeah, well, they'll probably have to go to what they call the Olympic model, where, and this is what I would prefer, rather than paying players, just let whatever players, whoever can get an endorsement deal, let them have it.
Right.
They're Americans.
Yeah.
Why can't we have Trace McSorley for Hebert Chevrolet, you know,
right.
in Virginia somewhere?
That's right.
Why is that so horrible?
Yeah.
I mean, you can have marketing guys from a university say, hey, we can help you get endorsement deals. You learn about the world. I mean, anyone who thinks that college athletics is an enterprise is smoking something. It's not. And there's tons and tons of people who make a lot of money off of it who don't have anything to do with the product. The only people who create the product are the student athletes.
Right. I mean, it's a way of getting, and I've talked about this many times. I've gone down the same track you have many times of opening the door for said student athletes, because it's only going to affect what, 2-3 football players, a basketball player, maybe a couple for each school. But the avenue's open for them to get that while still maintaining a model that allows you to still carry 700 other student athletes on scholarship.
Yes. Because, well, it's not like they wouldn't have the money to pay them anyway if they wanted to. But, but it creates an inequity among different types of students that I don't think is particularly appealing. I mean, if you're going to pay football players, why don't you pay tuba players on the band or music students or everybody else? Are they more important? Well, no, the football players are more lucrative. Allow the people who are lucrative on the football team, the stars, to do what anyone else would do on any other business out in the public realm where you can make an endorsement deal. Let them make it. That's the answer. We've gotten through the Olympics with that model. Why can't it work?
That's exactly right. And by the way, back to the Peach Bowl very quickly. If it were to fall that way, how popular a pick would it be in Atlanta to have Penn State go down there? Because I don't think they've been down there since '66, right?
They haven't played since you and I were boys. You know, we were. What do you even remember the Georgia Tech Penn State 21-0 game in Paterno's rookie season?
I do not.
I do not either. It was not on my radar when I was 9.
No, same here.
People remember. That's the last time Penn State played in Atlanta. They never played in a bowl there. So if they can do it, the Peach Bowl folks would love to have them in. But, you know, there's rules to be adhered to.
All right, now the next part. Let's get to what's going to be coming up next, and that's basketball. Penn State.
Wait a minute. I'm not finished. I want to say one other thing. Wouldn't you love to see Joe Moorhead against James Franklin in a bowl?
A lot of people would.
Wouldn't you? How about Orlando? How about Mississippi State, Penn State, and Orlando? Yeah. That could happen. That's possible.
That could happen.
Let's make that match. Get on it, okay?
That could happen.
Get on it, Steve. You're a power broker.
Oh, yeah. I'm a power broker.
You know the important people. Get on that.
Dave, Penn State beat Virginia Tech on Tuesday night. What did you see? Because obviously Virginia Tech's a very good team.
They're a really good team, man. That Robinson kid is a terrific
Isn't he good?
Player.
My respect for him grew as the night went.
Yeah, he just doesn't care. But they're small. I don't know if you watched Maryland-Virginia last night.
I did.
Or watched Maryland against Marshall.
I did.
My God, that is a good team.
They scored 71 on Virginia last night. A lot of it in the second half. They shot 51% against Virginia last night.
Yeah, nobody does that. A lot of Virginia's defensive stats are pace-related. This was not.
That's right.
They scored 71 points, and they deserved 71 points. They lost the game, but Virginia played really, really well. Maryland is a dangerous team, and they've got three freshmen, just like Penn State, but they might be better. And a Jalen Smith, their big head, who doesn't play tons of minutes yet. He started last night, played 27, I think, 28.
Yep.
But, man, he is an absolute stud. Marcus from the Sun told me he was, and that was the first real good look I got at him.
Yeah.
So they got Callen coming back at point guard. He's an experienced point guard.
Yep.
They got a couple of shooters who are also freshmen named Eric Ayala and Aaron Wiggins, who can really shoot it. They are impressive.
They both had good nights last night. Actually, Smith was the only one of the three who was in single digits last night. It's the first time he's been held to single digits all season.
Yeah, yeah. And that is a really good Virginia team. That was a terrific game.
And Bruno Fernando is a rim protector and inside presence that maybe a lot of people don't know about.
Well, the problem here for Penn State is it's a completely different team than Virginia Tech, which is a small, extremely quick, high-paced, high-scoring team. Maryland is big. They can put Fernando and Jalen Smith on the floor at once, and they're really tough.
Really long.
Big, long, athletic, as Jay Billis would say, long and athletic. They are a problem. To me, if Penn State goes in there and just doesn't get their doors blown off, it's a victory. If they keep it close, that will be good enough. They got to live to fight another day and not get demoralized in there, because the students are in session. It won't be anything like last January 2nd. It'll be a completely different atmosphere. When I went in there last year, it was the deadest I've ever seen a game at Maryland. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and that's because it was a January 2nd game, and everybody was out at that time.
Not this time. Yeah, that wall at the one end with the students. Isn't that an amazing place?
Actually, I've told everybody that since Maryland came into the conference, they actually had the best basketball atmosphere in the conference, in my opinion.
Yeah, they always did, even at Cole.
Yeah.
I mean, they had one of the best in the ACC when I used to go in there 20, 25 years ago to watch Vince Carter and Duke. And I mean, it was incredible. That's a basketball school.
No question about it. David Jones, PatriotNewsPenLive.com. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
SMC is where you want to be for your next new F-150. And everything starting with E. Make 2018 a November to remember with savings up to $13,000 on your next new Ford F-150. Sunbury Motors has F-150s starting at $25,669. All SUVs with the letter E will plummet in price for SMC's November to remember. 67 Ford Escapes, 23 Echo Sports, 22 Explorers, all at one location. Brand new Ford Escapes starting at an unheard of $17,820. If you haven't looked into the all-new Ford EcoSport, now is the time. 2019 Ford EcoSports start at $19,880. SMC has the SUV that started it all. The Ford Explorer for under $32,000. Hurry in now to SMC so you can show off your brand new Ford at your holiday dinner or to the buddies at Deer Camp. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Final couple of minutes of the show. Our thanks to David Jones, as always, from the Patriot News and PennLive.com for a fun conversation. Audrey Snyder from The Athletic and Dave Ennett, the play-by-play voice of Northwestern football. Dave also does basketball at Northwestern as well. So Dave, in the last couple of years, has done the first ever Northwestern NCAA tournament game, and now he gets to do the first ever Northwestern football Big Ten championship game. Dave's been there for a long time. He is one of the great voices and one of the truly classy, classy guys out there. Nothing but great things to say about Dave Ennett. The story for tomorrow is Jeff Byers, play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, to preview Penn State Bucknell Wrestling, which will be at Soika tomorrow night. We'll also have Don Marcus from the Baltimore Sun on to talk basketball with us. Talk about Penn State Maryland basketball with Don Marcus of the Baltimore Sun tomorrow. Ivan Mazel, ESPN tomorrow, and the King on with picks. All of us went 2-4 last week. Okay, I would not pin my life and my earnings on what we do.
Does Matt Cotrillo know he's doing picks tomorrow?
I think Sean's coming on to do the picks.
Oh, okay.
I think Cotrillo is just along for the ride, but we're going to let Cotrillo make as many picks as he wants. Even on games we're not picking, he can pick them. We don't care.
I didn't know if I needed to tell him to do some research tonight so he could make informed picks.
He can do as much research as I do, and you can tell on the show I do none. Yeah, I like the color of the uniforms. We'll go with them. Tonight's the Cowboys and the Saints. How about that? With Thursday Night Football, which is over the years, whether NBC has had it or CBS has had it, it has struggled, not with the broadcast. The broadcasts have been perfectly fine and well done. It's struggled with the quality of the games. Well, this year they've had a couple of really great games, and they have the potential for another one tonight that at least going in is very intriguing, and that's the Saints and the Cowboys. The Cowboys are playing much better lately. The Saints may be playing the best all-around football of anybody in the NFL right now. Their defense has played really well, and Drew Brees is having an absolutely phenomenal season. And since they got Mark Ingram back at running back, they're back to that 1-2 punch of Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram at running back. But they've had a tremendous year, and Brees has had a great year. But the Cowboys have played much, much better of late. Eagle fans will be watching this intently. They've got the Redskins on Monday night. If the Saints win, the door is open for the Eagles to beat the Redskins and then set up a big battle for the NFC East lead next week. So for a Thursday night, this is, I know they've got me locked in for at least the first quarter and a half to see if it's a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have it for you tonight. It's part of our Thursday Night Football package. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Quickly, Steve, don't forget your wife's birthday's in a month, because my daughter, who shares a birthday with your wife, reminded me this morning. 1 month.
Oh, believe me, I'm aware. Her birthday is the day of the Peach Bowl.
So you may or may not be home. Tell her on Sunday, right?
Nah, she already... No, this has become a fact of life. She understands that. I always get her presents and give her presents either the night before I'm supposed to leave. I mean, I actually shop ahead. So I actually try to take care of it ahead of time. Absolutely.